Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's the Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, Khan's got engaged recently, and I'd bet responsibly on the old Barstool Sportsbook that unlike a lovely couple from New York, he's not going to try to sail the open seas until he joins ISIS. Round number two, you'll never guess how many dicks a baby in Iraq has. Round three. I can't tell you what round three is, but let me just say this story has the most hubris I've ever seen in print ever. Round number four, there are certain animals you cannot admit that you've been attacked by. A fella down under didn't abide by that rule. So now we're going to make fun of him for about 7 minutes. And finally, round number five, update the safety brief, folks. Once again, some fellas down under were doing a little sex goofing, but things went awry when a machete got involved and they broke into the wrong damn house.
I gotta say, you get
show. We're about to throw a good show.
And you throw a machete in the mix.
We have a guest host today, and his name is Sean Washington. He is a corpsman. We finally have a doc on the show. I'm excited to get some of his stories, and all of that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at 3Chi. 3T, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know I'm a huge fan. 3Chi is an industry leader in Delta THC products. All products are formulated by a biochemist and made here in the United States with USA-grown hemp. 3T's Delta 8 is federally legal, and you can get it in Texas, even though weed is illegal still in all forms here in Texas. You can get that, get the same high like I do in Texas every single night. It's fantastic. Go to 3T.com, enter the promo code ZERO, and you are going to get 5% off your first order there. That's a great deal. The promo code is ZBT2021. You're going to get 5% off. Make sure you go to 3Chi.com, enter the promo code ZBT2021, and you're going to get 5% off. Let's get started with the show. And I'm so excited. Like, one of my favorite follows in Mil Twitter, because a lot of times in military Twitter, like whenever you're talking to folks, there is a lot of hive mind, a lot of just the same types of opinions over and over again. I like Sean because he's got a different perspective. Sean, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, excited to be here. Thank you for having me. Enjoy shitposting for your delight.
So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the Navy and when you joined and all that.
So I joined the Navy for a couple of reasons, but the one that comes to mind today for some reason is the fact that back in 2003, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Mom and dad were Marines. I didn't really know what I was doing in high school. It was like this like super short, scrawny kid that just only watched anime and a bunch of Charlie Sheen movies. And I watched like a Charlie
Sheen. That's a combo.
I watched a Charlie Sheen movie called Navy SEALs. And like that became like my favorite movie for a while. And like for some reason, I just decided, oh, yeah, one of the reasons why I was going to join the Navy, I was like, I'm just going to be a Navy SEAL. And this was right around the time the whole Accelerate Your Life promo ads were going. Mm-hmm. So
those are actually good ads. I haven't thought about those ones in a while. Those are probably the Navy's version of us when we are slaying the lava dragon.
Dude, Godsmack got me right into the recruiter station. Like, I operated the Godsmack. But, yeah, I joined senior year of high school, shipped out like a year later to core school or to boot camp in Great Lakes. Hung out there for a year, went to boot camp or core school, same area. And then to my surprise, I had no idea. This is like back in the day when the internet wasn't like what it is today. But towards the end of core school, they're like, hey, we're going to send you to field medical service school and you're going to be with the Marines. And I was like, ah, man, no, not once did my recruiter mention this while he was admittedly probably trying to have sex with my mom, to be honest with you. That's a whole nother story. But this dude, he probably could have. He looked like LL Cool J, to be honest with you.
Did he lick his lips too?
Yeah, man, of course. That was like the back in the early 2000s. But yeah, he never mentioned at any point that, oh yeah, you join the Navy, you'll be a corpsman. You'll get stationed with the Marines. But
that's interesting because I hadn't thought about that, because we got fucked too. When I was at Marine combat training, there was certain like 58 field, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go be an MP. I thought I was going to be an MP or a dog handler or a SWAT team member or something like that. They told us at MCT, oh no, there's also corrections. You guys can work in jails and you'll essentially be working in military jail. Every one of the 5800s that was there was like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just be in a brig.
Well, dude, the way he sold it was like, oh yeah, you ever watch ER? It's like ER blowing a ship. And I was like, yeah, but I want to be a Navy SEAL. And he kind of looked at me. It's like, yeah, you can do that too. I think like in the back of his mind, he knew that that just was going to happen. And actually, I almost drowned in boot camp. So that's when I realized it wasn't going to happen either. Because
yeah, I feel like you should probably be a little bit of an above average swimmer. If you're gonna
Yeah. You know, Charlie Sheen makes it look incredibly easy. And yeah.
And both of your parents are Marines, so they must be good swimmers.
I don't know. I've never actually seen them in the swimming pool.
That's content. Challenge your dad to a race across the pool.
That's a good one. Yeah, I just assumed that they do. But yeah, I ended up getting stationed with in Okinawa with 3rd MLG. Went on a couple of humanitarian aid missions, earthquakes, tsunamis, and all that stuff.
Sri Lanka?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
I was there too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sri Lanka.
And I was on Okinawa the same time you were too then.
What?
That's mm-hmm. cool.
2005 to 2009.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. The only thing I remember you ever mentioning about Okinawa is how you said you like to take, you used to take baths in the barracks tubs. And I was like, that is
yeah. the
most psychopathic thing I've ever heard anybody ever admit, like, mm-hmm. On air.
I also used to take baths in the dogs' bathtubs on Quantico. My kennel master came in. I was a sergeant still at the time. And we didn't have a staff NCO or officer out there. And whenever I was, like, so I was kind of in charge, and I was taking a bath in this dog kennel that's dirty as fuck, bubbles and everything, like the dog shampoo bubbles. My new boss walked in and was like, who the fuck are you? And I was like, I'm Sergeant Cothran. She's like, you're the dude that's in charge? I was like, yeah.
Was that their voice?
Yes, at your service.
Yeah, baths are gross. I cannot take a bath in a bathtub unless it's like a brand new bathtub that's never been like bathed in ever. They just
Come on, baths are good every now and again. Chaps takes baths daily. That's a little bit of a psycho move.
I probably take 3 or 4 showers a year. Everything else is bath.
I mean. Whatever.
So you go to Okinawa and you're hanging out, and then you did some deployments and stuff too, right? I see pictures floating around.
Oh yeah, yeah. I deployed with 2nd Lab Battalion. Shout out to 2nd Lab if anybody's listening from there. Over in Cherry Point, went to Iraq a couple of times, and then after that, ended up going to the Wounded Warrior Regiment in Quantico. So maybe our paths crossed there at some point.
Probably. I was getting tickets and stuff to Nationals games.
Yeah, yeah. Quantico from like 2009 to 2011. Got out of the military. Had no idea what I was going to do. All of my medical training didn't cross over or translate over to any like civilian.
See, that's bullshit, right? Like that automatic.
How is that possible?
I fucking hate that kind of stuff where it should be automatic. I was like Kinzinger or one of the congressmen that we've had on the show. Would write more legislation about that. Like, if you have the ability to be a combat lifesaver, to be a medic, to do all kinds of shit, there should be at least some sort of civilian equivalency that you can let, like, even if it's just paramedic school, it's like something like that.
Yeah, I think it's gotten a lot better now, but like back then, I remember going to Mary Washington, this university up the road, and I was like, what credits, like, how much of my training is gonna translate over? After like 7 years of being in the military, they came back and they're like, oh, we can give you credit for like PT. And I was like, ah, well, I guess I don't want to go to gym class. So yeah, I guess I'll take what you can get. But I feel like for a handful of years, I just kind of tried on careers. It's kind of like Barbie. You know, back in the day, whenever you saw a Barbie commercial, she had like a new job, every single commercial. Like mm-hmm. She's a vet. The next day, she's a firefighter. That's basically what I did. I just like tried on jobs to see what would fit, and while I was going to school simultaneously, ended up working at Apple for a handful of years as an account executive, helping small and medium-sized businesses and startups implement technology and all that stuff. And from there, I was like, oh yeah, sales is that bad of a gig. I actually enjoy it. And then from there, I got recruited by the CEO of Shift, which is a career change startup specifically for veterans and transitioning service members, to join their team as account executive. That was back in 2019, so it was almost in the 2-year mark, but started off as an account executive, moved over to the sort of customer success manager side of house, just working more intimately with veterans and trying to figure out, okay, like, what do you want to do? How can we get you there? And now I'm the program manager running career accelerators specifically for sales and customer focus career paths. So,
and that's exactly why what Sean just said, not also because he's funny, but that's the reason why I wanted him on the show, because he's a great resource. I see him helping people on Twitter. So if you are getting out, I'm sure Shift, that's exactly what they're starting up to do. Make sure that you're hitting them up as well, because they do a great job. Sean, if you don't mind, we're going to hop into the old subjects of the day. First up, we've got round number one. A newlywed husband and his wife, who expressed interest in fighting for the old Islamic State group, were arrested Thursday at a port near New York City as they attempted to board a cargo ship that undercover law enforcement said would take them to Yemen. First up, I saw the original headline does not say cargo ship. It says they're attempting to sail. One, you can't put sail if it's a cargo ship. I think sail, I think of the President's Cup.
Yes. Or I think of maybe like Truman trying to escape from the Truman Show, trying to escape his life.
I definitely don't think cargo ship.
No, that's not sailing at all.
No, I'm thinking like the Talented Mr. Ripley, where everybody's just like rich and they're like, let's just go.
Yes. I'm like, why are these rich people on a sailboat trying to go fucking help out ISIS? That doesn't make a lot of sense. James Bradley, who's 20, and his wife, Arwa Masani, she's 29, were taken into custody on Gangplank in New Jersey. What the fuck is Gangplank?
That's like the thing that goes from the dock to the ship. That's the gangplank.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, that's how you get onto a ship. The gangplank.
Aren't you in the army? How do you know that?
Yeah, how do you know that?
I'm worldly.
They probably teach you sailboat knot tying at West Point.
That's all we learn at West Point. How to be more uppity.
Gangplank? I've never heard that. Have you, Sean?
No, I've never heard anything like that before in my life.
That can't be a Navy term. That's got to be something Khan's made up.
It could be, but like all the Navy terms were replaced by Marine Corps terms. All I remember is Ophir Mae Johnson and Archibald Henderson.
The grand old man of the Marine Corps and the first woman to serve. So they were charged in federal court in Manhattan while attempting to conspire, provide material support to a designated foreign terrorist group. Bradley Muthani, or Muthana, made an initial court appearance on Thursday and were ordered jail without bail. Yeah, you think? Manhattan U.S. Attorney General said in a statement that the couple's plan to wage attack against the United States had been thwarted, and she proved it because they were in jail. Like, it's very difficult to continue to try to attack people while you are in jail. Bradley of the Bronx expressed support for ISIS and spoke of his desire to join the group overseas in recorded conversations over the course of a year with an undercover enforcement officer. Bradley also spoke to the undercover officer who led him to the ship about potentially attacking the United States Military Academy at West Point. Bradley sought to transit to the East Coast, to the Middle East, by a cargo ship because he feared he might have been on a terrorist watch list. In 2019, he planned to travel to Afghanistan to join the Taliban and attack American soldiers, but changed his mind because of ideological differences with the person who he was supposed to travel with. What could those possibly be?
Like, we can agree on a lot of things except for that.
I mean, you are trying to go to Afghanistan to fight with the Taliban, and somebody else is willing to do that with you. I cannot imagine what gets in the way of that, because there's not a whole lot of people that you can be that could be your battle buddy.
That's true. You know what it comes to mind? They probably didn't agree on what shows to watch on the travel over there.
Because if you're just going onesies and twosies, you don't have a share drive.
Right, exactly. So that would ruin the closest of relationships if you can't agree on a show.
Yep. So him and his wife, she was from Alabama. She expressed support for ISIS and discussed Bradley's plans to travel to the Middle East to fight on behalf of the group. After her arrest, she's got fucking balls of steel. The other guy, he's a fucking puss. Like, he doesn't want to do it. He's going to get in a cargo ship because he's nervous about the terrorist watch list. Listen to this shit. She waived her right to remain silent and said, yeah, I want to fight and kill Americans. Fuck it.
Well, that's a statement that will probably get you locked up for a very long time in our post-9/11 world.
Like, yeah, that's gotta
probably
be life.
When does this come up in conversation, though?
Like, she said it in court.
No, but I mean, like, how did, like, those two eventually discover, like, oh, yeah, is it on their Tinder profiles when they first met? Like,
yeah.
That's a good question, Sean.
I don't know, but you got to be watching a show and be, like, maybe they were watching 24. You're like, you know what? I'm actually not on Jack Bauer's side here.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, me too. She was probably the ringleader. Really. Like, they always assume there's this assumption that it's always going to be the man who is leading terrorist attack. I don't think that's what happened here. She clearly is the one. He doesn't even change his name. Like, he's got the same name. He doesn't really want to do this. He's going to a cargo ship because, like, maybe they'll get stuck in the Suez Canal.
Possibly. But you're absolutely right. I think she's the mastermind. At 29, you got a little bit of a worldly experience, maybe. At 20, you are dumb. You don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So this was probably all her idea, and she just forced it upon him completely. And he.
Oh, I thought I read it as 30. You're right. 20 years old. Like, yeah. He's a sugar mama and being like, mm-hmm. look, you can suck on these titties, but you just got to go fight with ISIS. And he's like,
yeah, this is probably his first longtime girlfriend.
He's probably a virgin.
Yep, definitely. So that's what happens when you get mixed up with an older woman.
Uh huh.
Well, I'm glad it was thwarted, as they said, because God forbid we have another attack on our own soil. That was stink.
And Bradley told an officer that he and his wife planned on fighting upon his arrival in Yemen, and that he had a dream that he had given an oath of allegiance to ISIS leader Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qurashi, prosecutors said. That's a strange little thing to do, like to tell prosecutors that I have the desire to meet up with the head of ISIS.
Yeah, it's kind of strange that Bradley's like, oh, yeah, as soon as we're going to land in Yemen, we weren't going to have sex, we weren't going to consummate the marriage, we're just going to go kill some people.
Mm.
And well, Yemen is not a spot that I want to go, man. No. Yemen is fucked up right now. That place is just what's going on there. It's terrible.
The three of us, we've all been to Iraq. Would you guys ever go back to Iraq just to see it now?
I thought about it when I interviewed Rocky Blyer, because he talked about his story where he went back to Vietnam, was standing in the same field that he was wounded in, and like how overcome he was. Also, Kyle Carpenter did that too. Kyle got to go back to his spot in Marja where he was injured. I think I would, because I would like to see it. It's beautiful. Like, I didn't even take in the sights. There's certain spots in Iraq that are legitimately beautiful. I think I would like to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sean,
I think I might want to go back just to see like the then and now sort of deal. My first deployment, we were stationed on Al-Asad, and Al-Asad has been hit with a couple of rocket attacks, like very visible incidents. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's
best apple turnovers in the game, though.
Yeah, it's not my home, but it's like, oh, man, Al-Assad, man. Like, I put in some time there, so I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I think it would be strange. It's like when you go back now, because I'm from Pensacola and I haven't lived there forever. I went back probably around 6 or 7 years ago, maybe not even that long ago, and went to the area where I went to high school, which I hadn't gone to since I went high school. And you look around, and everything is so different. I would imagine that's what it would be like where I was, too. I mean, because in your mind, you think everything is going to just stay stagnant the way that it is, but they progress along as well too. That's 12 years later for them.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that they're just stuck in a time warp by themselves just because we left, that they didn't continue living their lives. So I would be interested to see what it all looks like now in certain parts for sure.
Me too. And there's another part of Iraq that we're going to talk about in round number two. Because a baby has made history. He is the first person to be documented as being born with three penises.
Wild.
Three. Did you know that it's fairly common to have two?
Yeah, I
actually did not know that was a common thing.
Did you know it was common?
Yeah. I've taken that trip. There was a dude who had two dicks who was pretty popular, like back in the mid 2000s, and I was like, man, how many of these dicks exist? And there's a bunch of them actually.
There is. I think that wasn't that dude a porn star that had the two dicks.
Yeah. He ended up being a porn star. Yeah.
I think you have to. That's your like plight in life. You're a grown person with two penises. You gotta get in porn instantly. That's what you have to do.
There's no other option.
No. So a study says that between one out of every 5 and 6 million live births has two penises. However, the three-month-old baby has three. Despite this, only one can be called true penis, since the other do not possess a urethra and cannot function. I didn't know that.
They can't function at all? Like, they can't, no erections or anything? Like,
I don't think, they're just like, if that's the case, you got to lop those things off. Like, if you...
Well, keep reading here.
Okay, we'll keep reading the story. Having more than one penis isn't new. The two supernumerary penises were surgically removed. With no adverse... See, I think you got to give it a little more time. Maybe it's a slow growth, like a palm tree.
Yeah, you got to live your life a little bit with three dicks before you decide to, like, just, you know, chop them off. I mean, who knows what could happen?
You want to talk about, like, people getting up in arms now about circumcision? Circumcision is a huge conversation. Kate was talking about it the other day, like, where you're chopping dicks off or, like, tips of the dick off. There's really no medical reason for a circumcised dick anymore. Imagine how pissed you would be if you wanted three dicks and your parents cut them off.
Well, a backdrop issue would be if your parents cut off two of your three dicks and the one that you ended up getting stuck with was the smallest out of all of them. Like, you don't know what kind of growth potential the other two had. They could have been like 12 inches and now you're stuck with like, I don't know, 4 or 5.
But what you said about you can't get erect if you have all three of them, like all three of them can't erect, you'd be sending big time mixed signals. Say you're with somebody, you just met them at the bar, you bring them back. You have whiskey dick and two of your dicks and one of your dicks is good. They don't know what to expect.
Yeah. I just think about how troubling this would be that first time he gets to high school and he's in the locker room after football practice or soccer practice, maybe because it's Iraq and he's got to get out of the shower and all his buddies are going to see what he's working with there. That's got to be tough if you have three penises. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe it goes the other way where everyone's kind of transfixed by it and they're interested and you get all the attention from everybody in school because you have something that not everyone has.
The last line of this article is really made me think about what would happen because it's from, they said that the first known documented case of having two dicks was in 1609. 1609 is when they still thought that you could have like ghosts in your blood. Like where they had to like drain your blood and shit. Imagine what the people of 1609 thought of the two dick kid.
Oh, they probably killed him.
They probably thought he was a witch.
Like some asylum or something.
Yeah, I'm interested, Sean. Like, how much did medicine and what you learned change while you were still in the service? Because I feel like, yes, obviously medicine has changed from 1609 until 2021. That's a huge gap there. But is medicine that rapid that it can change in a 5 to 10 year period?
I feel like maybe not necessarily medicine itself, but I remember like there was like technology that changed. So I remember when quick clot first came around, we're like, oh shit, this shit is like witchcraft. And the whole like needle thing where you inject somebody with an IV and then you can pull the needle, the syringe out, and then like the safeguard cap flips over it. Like stuff like that was like mind blowing, but nothing really changes when it's mostly trauma medicine, at least like in that short of time span from my experience. But yeah, I think it was mostly technology based.
Quick clot is essentially kitty litter for your blood. Like that's all it is. Like, so if you are listening and you don't know what it is, we used to do this training. I think they've stopped it now where they would legitimately go places for trauma, like you would do trauma stops, and they would take a shotgun to a pig, and you had to stop the bleeding.
I went to that school.
Yeah, it's intense.
The doctor who ran it, he is, I think he was arrested for something recently, or maybe a few years back, but they don't run the school anymore. It was Operational Emergency Medicine, and it was right in North Carolina. And yeah, that we went to this dude's house, and that was like one of the final weeks where you had to pick your pig, and they just did all sorts of crazy shit to it. You had to keep it alive. Or,
and seems like now saying it makes sense. Like to you, there's two kind of. Well, I will say this. I don't really love the idea of testing on animals. However, I think if you're going to really learn how to grab an artery from a blown out leg, I would much rather be a pig than a person.
Like, No, that's true.
And you have to feel it. Like they're in that pig squealing, going nuts. It gives you kind of what the person would be going through.
I was like, I will say they tried to keep them as sedated as possible, almost to a point where there are a couple of pigs that actually died from overdoses because they were like trying to keep them as like out of it as they possibly could.
Yeah, I cannot imagine PETA is too thrilled with this training, but there are certain things I think you really need to just do them to full. Like you could read about this procedure until you're blue in the face, but until you actually do it, I think there's a big gap between practice and just reading about it. So I don't know. It's tough because I think I would have a hard time just taking a shotgun to a pig.
I know. I could do it if I was going to eat it. Like I have no problem killing an animal to eat it.
But right.
Just to train.
That seems cruel.
Yeah, it was. That was not even the worst thing they did to those pigs, actually. That was like how the event started off. The event started off, you're laying on the ground, you're facing away from your pig, and then you just hear them blasting the pigs in the background. And then, then you got to get up, turn around, sprint to your pig, start doing your thing on them. And then, like I said, you had to keep them alive for like 24 hours straight. And while you're trying to keep them alive, the instructors would just walk around and be like, oh yeah, I like what you're doing there. And like pull out like a K-bar or something like, and like stab them in the lungs. It's like, oh yeah, put in a chest tube here. They have a hemothorax. So it was pretty gnarly.
People got to be legit psychopaths. Yeah. Like and to do that.
Cool down though. I think they shut it down.
Thank God, man. It legitimately sounds like hostel. Like you're in fucking Prague doing shit. Like where you can go to different rooms and in this room we have pigs.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, that's terrible. There's got to be a better way to learn this sort of thing.
Yeah, because people like to eat pork, you know, like people like to get into a little bit of pork action. However, there's better ways to get your nutrition, and one of those is with Trifecta Nutrition, which is wonderful. If you haven't had it yet, you need to get it because you're going to get 40% off if you do it today with our promo codes, which are going to be, let me pull it up. If you can't tell, I'm searching for my shit. Here we are. Trifecta is the best meal prep on earth, and all of our meals are planned and created by chefs and nutritionists to help people get into the best shape of their life. Trifecta makes meal prep not suck, and all of our meals are backed by nutrition science and taste great, making it easy to get back in shape and eating healthy. You don't have to suffer to eat healthy. It's convenient. You can warm it up in the microwave, the stove, essentially anything. Even Kate did it in an air fryer at one point. Which I don't know about rice in an air fryer, but whatever. No wasted time cooking or cleaning. Just get healthy and heat it up. Meal prep for athletes. If you're at work or wherever and you don't have time to go get a good meal, throw a couple of those in your little bag and you'll be good to go. Trifecta also has an app that helps you track your meal and fitness and a community of customers to help support your progress. Go to trifectanutrition.com/0 for 40% off. Again, that's trifectanutrition.com/0. You're gonna get 40% off there. Round number three. Right? Round number three.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
All right, round number three. Scientists around the world have declared no further research is required in this field of astronomy, saying that everything about space is sufficiently understood. The decision announced today at the virtual global consortium of astronomy, astrology, and astrophysics conference, AAA, was met with an applause but not surprise from the astronomical community. The Pluto thing distracted us for a while, but really we've been on the trajectory to finish our research since the early 2000s. We figured it out at this point. There might be a few more black holes that we can discover, but everything else is pretty much mapped out. Pretty incredible.
I mean,
you sure about that?
No, it was an April Fool's joke, but it was one of those April Fool's jokes that if you don't see, first of all, I got on April Fool's and it was painful.
What happened?
It was painful.
Oh, no.
Kittle, the tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, put out a picture of him photoshopped in a Jags jersey and said, thanks to the 49ers for everything, but looking for the next chapter. Duval. And I was legitimately so excited. I was like,
because he's like Trevor Lawrence, DJ Chark.
We're going to have all these offensive star power. And now you're throwing in maybe arguably the best tight end in the NFL, top two or three at least.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been, I was like, I didn't even know he was up for a trade. I wonder what I don't even care what we gave up for him. Like, it's going to be amazing. Didn't happen. This one, same thing. Preparing for the show, April 1st, they need to have any article that's posted on April 1st should automatically on April 2nd become in bold or italic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an update, like April Fools.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie to you. The Teletubbies got me when they tweeted out that they were releasing their own cryptocurrency. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about the Teletubbies in a while. Do you remember when Jerry Falwell was super pissed at the Teletubbies?
No.
Yes. Jerry Falwell, the dude who started Liberty University, was so against the Teletubbies because they didn't say that Tinky Winky wasn't gay. Like, there was lots of rumors about Tinky Winky, and they wouldn't
have the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think April Fool's Day should just be a day that everybody takes a break from the internet because everyone's got an April Fool's joke. They all kind of stink. Or they hurt people's feelings, like you, Chaps, where you got your hot hopes very high up because Kittle going to the Jags would have been a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were just have your hopes crushed the next day when you find out it's just a bunch of phony baloney. So I just think all the big corporations that do the jokes, I'm over
Michael
it.
Strahan's was good, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was... Dude.
He looked fucking sexy with his gap gone. He looked good. Did you see him, Sean? Dude, when he doesn't he looked like a legit model. When he got rid of the gap in his teeth, I was like, oh my. Because, you know, a smile is like half of his face. Mm. When he had perfect teeth in that smile, he needs to go back. Like, I know it was for a goof, but you got to look at yourself and be like,
But Strahan at this point, that's just part of his persona.
I get that with dudes like Anthony Davis, too. Like, doesn't want to get rid of the unibrow because it's, like, part of who he is and, like, part of it. I wouldn't do that. If you give me money like that, buddy, I'm getting everything fixed. I'm going to have the best tits. I'm going to have such a nice ass. It's going to be incredible.
Imagine if, like, Michael Jordan just showed up one day with a full head of hair.
Brian Urlacher.
We practically saw that with LeBron James. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Mm-hmm. Dude was straight up balding, and now he has like a full head of hair. He's a Space Jam too. Like, what exactly did he have done to resuscitate his hairline?
I mean, our boss Dave did the same thing. Like, his hair sucked, and he went and got a hair replacement, and now he's got beautiful locks at 45 years old.
Mm-hmm. How does that work?
I think they go. I actually love watching those medical TikToks and everything. They actually take hair from other people. They find like somebody that's close to your blood type and they poke it in almost like, have you ever seen them making like shag carpet, you know, where they take like needles and it just goes over mm-hmm. and over and over again? They do the same thing in lines. They put hair into your head like it's fucking legit corn. Like it's rows of corn, but it's hair. And you could also do it to your beard. Like, if you have a shitty beard, you can go in and get them to do that and where you have a luscious beard.
But is the hair coming from a person who's alive or a dead person? Like, I don't want to walk around with, like, dead man's hair.
I thought they just took it from other parts of the own person's head.
No. Uh-uh. Because it's different. Well, think about it. I actually saw something about this, too. I'm so glad you said that. This was the fucking most insane. So this woman... She got into like, she was riding on her bike whenever she was little. And, you know, kids are stupid. So they'll be out on a bike wearing like flip flops or something like that. Well, she was going really fast, tore all the skin off of her foot. Like, just, it was apparently a brutal injury. They had to take hair from, they took a little, our skin to graft it, the same type of skin. Some was from her armpit and some was for her butt. Well, they from her butt, and then they put it on her foot, and she showed the video. She has armpit hair growing out of her foot. Because the skin didn't change.
That's actually kind of like a cool party trick. Yeah, that's like a
cool party trick. I was like, where is this going? And she flashed down. I was like, holy shit.
I don't know. I might want my
that's own. Weird. Now, here's a question. Here's the question. Does her foot now smell like your armpit?
Mm. It's a fair question to ask. Yeah, so that's that. Round number four. A man has been whipped by what is described as the angriest octopus while swimming in the holiday at the Western Australian beach. In a video that has gone viral, the octopus can be seen in shallow waters lashing out at geologist Lance Carlson. The creature came back again and struck him on the arm before whipping him. The tentacles left red welts on his skin, which Mr. Carlson said only eased after he poured Coca-Cola on them. The former lifeguard told the Australian news outlet that he preferred treatment for sea animal stings is vinegar, but he didn't have any at that time. However, if he knew anything acidic might help, he decided to try cola. Turns out it worked. Mr. Carlson said he was about to take a dip near the resort where his family was staying, and then he saw a tail of a stingray striking a seagull, and he discovered it was actually an octopus. I didn't know that they struck. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, conveniently enough for me, I watched on the plane ride down to North Carolina the octopus teacher, that documentary on Netflix.
I heard that was a tearjerker.
Bro, twist ending. You don't want to be watching that if you're susceptible for crying. It's a little bit of a sad ending, I will say that. But I had no idea so many of these things about octopuses. And yes, they do lash out. And some of them, I guess, are pretty angry.
Mm. Have you heard the theory that they're actually aliens? Have you read that article before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think if anything was aliens, it's the deep sea creatures. Those things are scary looking. Like the ones that can glow in the dark and shit.
Absolutely. And I've long said, I still think there's stuff that we haven't discovered yet because we don't have the technology to get to the deepest parts of the ocean.
Oh, more people have been on the moon than have been into the deepest part of the ocean.
That's crazy. That's something that people don't talk enough about. That we
it really is nuts.
Had a lot of people.
Because there's been like 30 people on the moon.
Why are we going back down there?
There's been like 30 people on the moon and like only six people have gone down to the deepest part.
That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
30 feels like a lot. Is it 30 people? I thought it was only 24.
24? That
How
was
many people have been to
oddly
the moon?
Specific. How many people have been on the moon since the beginning of time? I think we just said since the 1960s. How many people have actually landed on the moon? 12. That was way off.
See, well, yeah, 30 seemed like that's a little too that's a little
I'm making
too
it sound like it's an everyday thing. Someone just pops on the moon, just hangs out, and just throws out their beach chair and chills.
Do you think, you know what, we really need to get Buzz Aldrin on the show, because I want to know if there's a moon club. If they get together once a year and they have a big
like
moon
the
party and they talk about how great they are.
Like the dolphins?
Yes, like the 72 dolphins. Uh-huh. They get together every year.
Yeah,
I would too. Like what do you get afforded? And this is all stuff we could clearly look up on the internet. But what do you think are the biggest perks of having been somebody who walked on the moon?
Speaking fees.
You get to tell everyone to walk on the moon.
Yeah. I mean, you would never say, like, I talk about, like, we talk about military life all the time. If I went to the moon, everyone that I talked to, I would be like, oh, yeah, no, you might recognize me because I was on the moon.
I'll be from talking about that. I'd be like, bitch, I went to outer space. Like, that's the ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys think I talk about West Point a lot. Imagine if I went to the moon, forget it. I'd work that into every conversation. I'd become even more insufferable.
Me too. Who else is insufferable is the fellas in round number five. Because in a sex fantasy gone wrong, two men with machetes enter the wrong house in New South Wales, Australia, before quickly realizing their error. One of them has been acquitted of entering a home with a weapon in July 2019, an Australian media report said. they had been hired to carry out a client's fantasy of being tied up in his underwear and struck with a broom. The judge concluded that the facts of the case are unusual a little bit. The role play was arranged on Facebook by a man near Griffith, South Wales, who provided his address to the hired pair. He was willing to pay $5,000 if it was really good, the judge said. However, the client moved to another address away without updating the two men. Then he entered the home in the street of the original address, and the resident noticed a light on in his kitchen at 0615. He assumed it was a friend who came to make his morning coffee. Who the fuck goes by somebody else's house to make morning coffee? That's the weirdest part about this whole thing.
That's like something out of a CBS sitcom or something.
I don't believe any of this. I don't believe a second of the story. You say a friend comes over every day at 6:15 to make you coffee? What?
No, that's not something that's normal. I don't think so.
That's no.
When the men called out the name of their client, the resident turned on the light and he removed a sleep apnea mask he was wearing. It was then he saw them standing above his bed with machetes, which appeared to have been brought prop for role play. When they realized their error, one of the men said, "Sorry, mate," and shook the resident's hand. "Oh, Roto, we're going to get these machetes and get you rolling out of here." Jesus, man. The two men then drove to the correct address. See, what are you doing? If you go into one wrong house, the thing's off.
Yeah, you got to call quits for the night. That's it.
Done.
Yeah, sorry. That went into the wrong house. This is a one-shot, one-kill type of operation, so I'm sorry. We'll have to postpone. Maybe we'll try it again another time.
I'm kind of confused. Like, why did they have the toy machetes when the guy was like, "Oh, yeah, I want you to beat me with, like a broom"? I feel like
that's a situation you got to bring a real machete. Like, if you're breaking and entering and you're fantasy, it really – because if you have, like, a cops and robber fantasies, there's plenty of those on the old U-porn. Like, if you have that kind of fantasy, you don't want to see a fucking Nerf gun that has, like, Fortnite and shit written on the side. You want a real gun. You want somebody to bring in an actual Colt 45.
That's a good point. Yeah. Because the whole time you'd be thinking, like, it's not even real. This is really not getting me going because I'm not scared at all. He's not going to kill me with this plastic machete. What a loser. That was a waste of $5,000.
You're sitting there about to have sex, and you're like, "Sorry, you guys brought fake machetes. Now I can't even come."
For $5,000, I'd probably make a cameo appearance at somebody's house too.
I mean, $5,000 in a night. That's $2,500 a piece. That's still good. That's real good money.
That's OnlyFans money.
Yeah. Oh, you see, Cash Me Outside. Girl got fucking $1 million.
That's ridiculous.
In 6 hours.
In like 6 hours.
6 hours.
I wonder what she's up to now.
You know what? I don't know, but here's what I'll say. I was saying to somebody in the office the other day. You know, I've lived my life, always tried to do the right thing, take the right path in life, work hard, get to a point where I can earn a nice living, and now this trailer park idiot does one appearance on Dr. Phil and can make $1 million in 6 hours. The world doesn't make sense sometimes.
Well, she's also been grinding on social media. She has a shit ton of followers and does rap and does all kinds of stuff. But still, $1 million. I mean, if I could make $1 million doing that, I would do it in a heartbeat. I also don't understand the OnlyFans thing. How horny are you where you're subscribing? Like, there's endless porn for free. Endless.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it is, I think the people on it are a lot of amateur people, but also there's a lot of people that aren't putting out content anywhere else. So I guess they just upset. Really, really like that person.
OnlyFans guy in cons. I had no idea. Sorry about that.
No, yeah. All right.
So when they realized their error, they said, "Sorry, mate." And the two men drove to the correct address where the client noticed one man had a great big knife in his trousers and asked him to leave the weapons in the car. The client then cooked bacon, eggs, noodles, and a short time later, the police arrived at the property, found the machetes in the car, and arrested the hired pair. The judge ruled that the evidence did not suggest the men's actions were intentional. They carried the machetes either as a prop or something to use in the fantasy, he said. But the fantasy was unscripted and there was discretion on how it should be carried out. A lawyer for Terrence Leroy, one of the accused, said it was a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom. entry was not intent to intimidate. I understand different fantasies jokes. And may a thousand blossoms bloom as far as I'm concerned. If I'm going to pay $5,000, I'm getting a hell of a lot more than a tickle with a broomstick while I'm tied up.
Yeah, I guess so. $5,000, like clean the house while you're there, maybe. I don't know.
$5,000. I mean, you're doing five. You better do some fucking crazy shit. $5,000.
You better make me a nice meal.
Yeah, it's got to be something I don't even know if I could talk about in mixed company. That's what I'll say.
I'm really curious about
where you go.
That was posted and how can I access it to see if there's anybody local who would do the same thing? Because like I said, $5,000, that's an easy day right there.
Oh, guaranteed. Mm. I mean, there's pervs everywhere, man. Like if I was a lady, I'd be selling my panties like you wouldn't believe.
And if I was a hot lady, I'd have, I'd be on every single like OnlyFans type platform out there. I would.
Yeah. It really just comes down to, you know, people, are you willing to just not be embarrassed and not disrespect your family and you don't care about any of that because money matters more than anything else? So
yeah, but I just don't know. Whatever. Like, there's so many people out there now that I don't think that there is definitely those values in a lot of spots still. However, I think most families would be very understanding if you're like, look, I was struggling to find work. I was doing this and that. Now I'm making $80,000 a month because I'm showing the inside of my vagina. I think everybody's like, that's good.
I mean, you're getting paid to do something that you're going to do anyway, regardless. Like, you're just going to beat your meat. Like, why not make a couple of grand off of it a month?
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant. A lot of these people make a significant amount of money. So
do you think that they get like a normal job where they look at what's going on and they're like, oh, fuck, man, I'm about to have to go cum.
Damn work.
Got work, man.
This story though, so this story reminds me of something that happened a few weeks ago. Alex and I though this is not OnlyFans related, so okay. Hold on. But Alex and I were laying in bed and our bedroom door was slightly propped. And maybe the air conditioner, something went on where the door closed itself, but it sounded like someone came into our apartment through our front door.
Oh, did you have a motherfucker would moment?
Dude, he did.
Listen, oh my God.
She sleeps on the side closer to the door. Dude, before I could even say a word or do anything, she popped up like she was ready to go find out who was in our apartment. And I was like, Alex, get away from that door. You're not going out there. Go get in the closet. And then I went out and checked on everything. But without hesitating, she popped out of bed and was ready to go attack. And then I was talking to her afterwards. I was like, what if there really was somebody in there with a weapon or a gun? And I swear to God, she says, well, I would just run at them and then they wouldn't know what to do.
I love that. We marched the sounds of the guns. I love that.
Yeah. I was very proud of her. So that's good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so don't break into my house with a machete. That's all I have to say.
Alex sounds like the Winter Soldier. Like, did she get activated while she was sleeping?
Yeah, she's not one that you want to fuck around with, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
She will put cons in his place big time.
Very, very quickly.
Keeps them in line. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. I'll start. I just want to mention it because we've talked about it so much, and it's getting to the point now. Well, it's not even getting to the point now. It is at the point, and it's continuing to be at the point where the sexual assault thing that's going on in the military is just outrageous, man. Like this news story that came out that a student, she was in student status, sexually assaulted by her cadre. Man, I hope they throw the book at these dudes if that's really what happened. If all these reports are true about what she's saying, there's just got to be some type of cleaning house that has to happen. And I don't really know what you do. It shouldn't be like, what is leadership really going to do in saying you should not sexually assault your fellow soldier? Like, why do you have to have those conversations all the time?
Yeah, no, that's crazy. It's that has to be said out loud and not just understood as a tenet of living in a society is crazy. And you're absolutely right. that it's ridiculous at this point that we are still having these problems in the military. And I'm at a loss, though. I don't know what the answer is, unfortunately, because obviously if there was a quick answer, we would have hopefully reached it by now. Mm-hmm. But this continues to occur and something is broken. And more so than what they did at Fort Hood with the investigation into what was going on at Fort Hood, the Army and the military at large, for that matter, needs to take a very serious, hard look in the mirror and figure this out, because this is not okay. And what? and it's crazy. Like, that's not a crazy thing for me to say. Like, this is not okay. Like, yeah, duh, no kidding, it's not mm-hmm. okay. But why do we see it continue to happen?
Mm-hmm. What's wild about that story is that I think they mentioned over a dozen people were involved in it. Mm-hmm. So from an institutional level, what type of environment are these people in where they're like, hey, I'm going to sexually assault this person. Do you want in? And then find like 12 other like-minded individuals who are like, yeah, I'm down.
In leadership positions.
Yeah. I think there was a video and the word sex ring was thrown around a couple of times. So it's like, what exactly is going on that would create this many people who are just absolutely down to be awful human beings? I don't know.
No, so that's a great point. It's like, all right, you know, maybe one person, you know, is a terrible, messed up person. And then,
there's always that 1%.
Right. But then to have 12, mm-hmm. come on, something's going on. So yeah, that's terrible.
Yep.
Chaps, as we record this, it is Easter Sunday. So we would be remiss not to do a little ZB history and talk about the worst Easter in the history of Barstool Sports.
Yeah, so a couple years ago, I guess it was 3, maybe 4 years ago now, the Final Four was here in San Antonio, and Michigan was in it. So Dave and Dan all came down to San Antonio for the Final Four. Michigan was going to play Monday night in the championship game, and so the whole squad was still here. Everybody came over to my house. It was Big Cat and Dave and Tommy Smokes and Frankie. There's a bunch of people that came over, and I was going to cook a big Easter dinner. I woke up. I had my alarm set for 1 a.m. to go set the brisket out, because cooking a big brisket takes a long time. I was going to be ready at like 6 o'clock that night, got it on at 1 o'clock in the morning. I fell asleep. It's the cardinal rule of barbecue. Don't fall asleep. When I went back outside, the big green egg where I usually have this thing that keeps the temperature perfect, it fell out. And so there was more air getting into the coals. So my big green egg was 650 degrees when I went outside. So everything was fucking burned. I had to go get a smaller one. I ended up trying to save it and made nachos, and it was terrible. I feel bad. They had not brisket nachos on Easter, and now Dave every year brings it up.
And the best part was they were all sitting around thinking, Sean, oh, this is like a nice little warm up, and then waiting on dinner. Then there was no dinner. Unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate.
And it's Texas, so there's not a whole lot of shit that was open on fucking Easter Sunday anyways.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'm surprised you weren't executed in Texas for that grave error with barbecue. I know they take barbecue pretty serious down there.
For sure, especially brisket. All right, what about you, Conzer? We'll go Sean. Sean, what do you got?
Let's talk about Mill Twitter for a second.
Okay.
I guess two questions. Number one, why is everyone on Mill Twitter mean? And then number two, how do people on Mill Twitter know each other personally when I feel like 90% of Mill Twitter, nobody has a profile picture of themselves. Nobody's using their real names. And yet when they insult each other, they're like, oh, yeah, well, that's why you failed your PFT. I'm like, how do you guys even know each other's PFT scores?
Yeah, I know this answer. There's huge DM group chat from all these people. And they'll sometimes have 30, 40 folks in it just constantly going. Let me just say, being in a 30 or 40 person group chat is my literal idea of hell. There's no shot I would want to do that.
No, not at all. Because it's just always going.
And I think to answer your question about being mean, being a curmudgeon is a personality trait in the military. So I think that people just try. They continue to do that. They're just sad sack Sallys and sour pusses all the time. Cheer up, Charlies. Let's have a good time on here.
Let a lady have a pony.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the things that people get so pissed about. That one fella, I forget who it was, but talking about all these different standards that were going to go away because women are in ponytails. It's like, dude, they're fucking ponytails. Like, what are we doing? You're upset about ponytails?
Yeah.
Ponytails.
Uh-huh. All right,
Sean, I love that also. I was going to say quickly, Sean, I do like that you just hit everybody right in the face with your Twitter handle. You're just like, hey, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you got to let people know. it's weird because, like, every now and then, you'll just get, especially on social media, people don't really know you personally. So they just assume one thing about you, and then they're just like, oh, yeah, I can say this ridiculous thing to him, and he'll co-sign it. So I'm just like, nah, let me tell you exactly who I am. So that I don't need any, like, racist, homophobic, transphobic humor directed my way. I'm not, like, in that crowd, so...
I like that. So if you want to follow Sean on Twitter, he is at Gay Black Vet is his handle, and very funny guy on there. Make sure you check him out. Cons, what do you got? Safe rounds.
Friday night, just grabbed a few drinks with some folks and was just walking around New York City, and, you know, the weather was nice, and just being able to walk around New York City and then go to a few different bars, it kind of made it feel like things are getting back to normal. So that was a positive. And then also, I'm down here in North Carolina for the Barstool Classic. Check out the Barstool Classic. All the content they put out is fantastic. If you're not playing in it this year, be sure to keep an eye on it for next year. They keep growing, getting bigger, playing some unbelievable courses. So I'm just excited to be here and very grateful for the Foreplay guys having me down. So I'm happy as a clam. But it was weird to not do anything really Easter related on Easter.
But yeah, I also have one more thing I need to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Threw a surprise party for my wife that
what?
She had no idea about.
No. When?
We did it on Friday. So it was, we got all of her friends that were in the area because she just got her doctoral degree. And we got a big surprise party. We had an outside restaurant, got like wine and nice food, like all this shrimp and steak and all kinds of stuff. It was incredible, and she had no idea.
What was the ruse you used to get her wherever you were going?
Oh, I just told her it was easy because she's not, what am I gonna say, like, oh, I have a work dinner, can you come and accompany, like, it's gonna be like, what the fuck am I, no, like, that's not gonna happen. And where am I going dressed up? Like, I don't dress up for anything. So I put on a polo shirt and some pants, and that afternoon, and she was like, what are you so dressed up for? I was like, oh, we're going to go out to dinner. The kids are going to stay here. It's been a stressful couple of weeks. We both got the vaccine now. We're going to go out to eat and have a good time. And she was like, oh, sweet. So she thought it was just going to be us. And then we rolled in and all of her friends are there.
That's awesome. And also, I love that the barometer for dressing up for you was pants.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if I have a collar,
well,
it's basically
pants
a wedding
on today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I honestly thought surprise parties only happen in sitcoms, so it brings me great joy to hear that you actually pulled this off in real life.
Well, I pulled it off with the help of our friend Cassie, who is incredible, and I will say my shitty memory very much helped in me not spilling the beans, because we had set everything up. It was all set up and completed on Tuesday. She texted me Friday at about lunch, and she was like, are you ready? Do you have a plan of how you're going to get her to the restaurant? And in my brain, I was like, for what? Like, I had completely forgotten about the surprise party, because normally all my stuff is on the calendar, but we share a calendar, so she would have seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Smart.
It's not, you can't put surprise party for your wife on the calendar.
That'll probably be a pretty quick way to ruin it. So.
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right.
I think
I mentioned one more thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So just to put this out there, this is going to be a shameless plug for the company I work for. But if you are a transitioning service member or a veteran, Shift, like I mentioned at the top of the call, works to help you all identify various career paths outside of the military. Some of them include project management, sales and customer operations, data science, and all that stuff. But we have a couple of different programs that we run. One is this cohort style based learning system where you're just in a group with a bunch of other veterans. It's super fun. You're all marching towards one common goal career wise. And it's a great environment to leverage resources, exchange information, create access to opportunities and all that stuff. But even more importantly, we have something called Talent Spotlight. So if you're a veteran, you've already transitioned from the military, and you have a general idea of what you want to do, you can create a free profile. And by creating this free profile, this gives our hiring partners, who are mostly pre-IPO tech companies like IDMe, Better.com, Affirm, Snowflake, or some of them. But this gives our hiring partners visibility into you as a potential candidate, so that if they have any open opportunities that are aligned with your expectations as far as salary, seniority, what you want to do, where you want to do it, then they can reach out to you directly and get the ball rolling on it.
Awesome. I think that's awesome, Sean. I'm going to start pushing more people away, because we get DMs all the time, advice about transitioning, and you know, I can only give so much advice.
I don't know. I got lucky. I'm not sure.
you're a great, well, actually, both of you all are great post-military success stories. Like, did you all ever imagine that while you were in Iraq, years later down the road, you'd have like this show and become a huge voice in the veteran community?
No, not at all. I thought I would do 30. I thought my goal was to be Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. That's what I wanted. I was like super about it, but I would never would have thought this. I'm thrilled that this is where I was at, but I know and recognize the fact that I got incredibly lucky. We also got lucky with having Sean on the show today. Sean, thanks for filling in. We appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, we'll see you guys next time. It's on the retreat.